Well, as you know, I think my dad was a pretty amazing man, and all too often he proved it to me over and over. I remember more than once I would be trying to get a machine back together and running, and I would run into this place where I was stuck, where I couldn't get it running, something was wrong, and you go over it and you go over it and you can't figure out why this machine would not run. And I would fight it and I would fight it and try this and try that, and still the machine just would not run. And I'm getting a little frustrated at this time. And then my dad would arrive on the scene and start looking over my shoulder, which didn't help my frustration any. Then he would reach in and make some little tiny adjustment, and suddenly the machine would run. And then he'd walk away with a big smug look on his face, and he would just pat himself on the back. And so many times in life, Dad was right. Sometimes Dad would say, "You're wasting your time, Scott. It'll never work." And guess what? More often than not, Dad was right. Sometimes he would tell me to take a different approach to the problem. And more often than not, Dad was right. And sometimes Dad would say, "Stay the course. You're doing it right. It'll be okay in the end." And more often than not, Dad was right. It didn't matter if it was about a machine or about life in general. And I had to remind myself that even though I didn't like to admit it, I needed to listen to him because he was usually right. But things are that way with God. How often do we try to do things ourselves without God? How many times has God tried to direct us or tell us we are wrong, but we don't listen, and then we fail? And I mean, time after time, we don't listen and we fail. Sometimes we can hear God directly, and sometimes God will speak to us through other people and other ways. Sometimes we don't hear because we don't want to hear. Sometimes we are like teenagers who hear but just don't listen very well, and we choose to ignore God. Sometimes we hear, but we make excuses. In reality, how often do we hear God and just go act obediently? Well, after the resurrection, Jesus makes several appearances to the disciples. In one of his appearances, he tells the disciples to go on to Galilee and that he will meet them there. So they go to Galilee and wait for Jesus. And our scriptures tell us that it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now we should remember that many of these guys were professional fishermen. Peter, James, John, and Andrew were no doubt experienced fishermen. Good fishermen understand the tides and the currents. They know the seasons and they know the migration pattern of their fish. They understand how things like the weather and the phases of the moon and time of the day affect how fish move. This wasn't a hobby for these guys. They just didn't go down to Bass Pro on a whim and buy a pole and a fishing license. This is how they made their living. In fact, we see them in the beginning of Jesus' ministry being who they were, fishermen. Going back to Luke, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Isn't it interesting, both at the beginning of the mission of Jesus and after the resurrection, we find fully capable, professional fishermen out on the water, and both times they fish all night and catch nothing? Luke 5, Simon said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." John 21 says, "So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing." Do you ever feel in life that you're coming up empty? Did you ever feel that maybe your career wasn't what you wanted it to be? Maybe your relationships are not what you want them to be. Have you ever had a period or a drought in your life when you feel empty, alone, and spinning your wheels? How would you react if someone you didn't even know came to you and told you to change course? We don't usually accept advice from strangers, do we? For one, they don't even know us or our situation fully. And second, what makes them an expert on our lives? But here in both stories, we find them listening to someone they don't know or didn't recognize. So we read that again in Luke 1, that here was Jesus out teaching. And he went out on the boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into the boats belonging to Simon. He asked him to put it out for a little bit. And then he sat down and taught people from the boat. Peter at this point was not a disciple. He didn't know who Jesus was. And in John chapter 21, we see that early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. In both cases, Jesus at the moment is an unknown person with unknown capabilities. Yet in both cases, we find that these men say, "Okay." And the earlier chapter says, they said, "But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." In John 21, he said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And the scripture says they did. In both cases, we find tremendous results. Luke chapter 5, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And in John chapter 21, it says, when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. This lesson seems so simple, but we don't always follow and do the things that Jesus says. And aren't we a lot like the disciples who at first had a lot of excuses and arguments? The disciples said, "Hey, we've been fishing all night. We already caught nothing. Don't you understand? We're the ones with the boats and the nets. It's kind of our trade. There is nothing. Nothing. We've already tried it. We've been out fishing all night. Caught nothing." And it would have been easy for them to stop there and just walk away. We have lots of excuses for not listening to Jesus. And maybe we did hear Jesus say or someone say, "Have you tried casting your nets on the other side?" I have heard people in churches in my lifetime say things like, "We've already tried that. It doesn't work. We have tried and tried, but we haven't got anywhere. We have told people about Sunday school and they don't come. We have tried handing out flyers and it doesn't work. We have tried to invite the people across the street. I've invited my nieces. I've invited my neighbor. I've tried witnessing at work. Look, our nets are empty." Have you heard the old saying, there are only two ways, my way or the highway? Well, in a way, that's how it is with God. We can do things God's way and fill our nets, or we can do our things our way and come up empty. Jonah was one who tried to do the same thing. In the book of Jonah says, "The word of Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the greater city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.' But as you know, Jonah refused to go. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for a port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Scholars believe that he may have had a hatred for the people of Nineveh because they were known to be ruthless enemies of the Israelites. They were part of the Assyrian Empire. And not only were they a sinful bunch of people, they did cruel and wicked things to their enemies, especially the Israelites. And God said, "Go cast your nets in Nineveh." So to put this into perspective, we all remember 9/11. And could you imagine 2 days after 9/11, God calling you to be a missionary in Afghanistan to the Taliban? You probably wouldn't have wanted to go, would you? What would you say to God? You'd probably be like Jonah. "God, these people hate us. They especially hate Americans. They cut off heads, blow up people, fly planes into buildings. I wish they were dead, wiped clean from the face of the earth." And this was the same feeling that Jonah had for the people of Nineveh. But Jonah ran, and we all know what happened. God caused a great storm. He was thrown overboard and swallowed up by a great fish. And while in the belly of the fish, he reconsiders his position. Have you ever felt swallowed up? Have you ever felt out of place? Perhaps nothing seems to be going your way. Maybe you need to reconsider your position. Maybe you need to recenter your life around God and God's will. God can use us each and every one of us to do great things if we are willing to do what God has called us to do. Jonah finally commits to the mission and is eventually coughed up ashore. He does go to Nineveh, where the people that hear his mission and they repent. It says the Ninevites believe God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Jonah finally got it. He listened and followed the direction of God's will, and their nets were full. He wasn't fishing for fish, right? He was fishing for people. He went, and the whole nation repented. Our nets should be full as well. And whether it is the church as a whole or whether it is us as individuals, we are called by Jesus to do the will of the Father. You know that prayer that we say every Sunday? The prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, where we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Have you ever meant that line? Or do you just say it because it's the next words in the prayer? And Jesus taught us a lot about our obedience and how it demonstrates our love. He tells us in John, "On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." If we love God, we must seek God's will and keep his commands. We must be willing to cast our nets in another direction, or again and again, even if we have already tried. Our life as Christians should be the constant pursuit of going to where God is telling us and casting our nets. And God may speak to us in many ways, and we must be open to his Holy Spirit and to the calling and to the gifts that we have. John reinstates the importance of following God's commands in 1 John. He says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world." He said, this is the victory. If we want full nets, if we want victory in this world, we must first be obedient. And when we are obedient, when we remain faithful in prayer, when we remain true to his word, when we love one another, when we love God with all of our hearts, our mind, our soul, and our strength, then we are open to see and hear God. So ask yourself, where do you stand? Throughout the Bible, we see people running from God and going their own way. We read that it didn't work out for Jonah. Running from God or going your own way didn't work out for the Israelites, because they ended up wandering for 40 years. And I promise you, things will not work out for you unless you learn to cast your nets where God leads you. The great hoax by Satan is making us believe that we can do what we want and how we want, even if it is living outside of the will of God. And when we live outside of God's will, we risk our own salvation. Why would we do it our way when Jesus has promised victory? Why would we do it our way when Jesus has promised us full nets? We have to be obedient to God's commands. Are you willing to cast your nets wherever he leads? And believe it or not, we're in our 11th month together. And I have plans that I believe are God's plans. And we're going to cast our nets in some directions. We're going to do some things that are going to challenge you. They're going to challenge what you do, where we do it, how we do it. They're going to challenge your wallet. Ooh, did I say that out loud? Because it takes resources to make missions go, doesn't it? It's going to take your time to make missions go. It's going to require you to go to places that are uncomfortable. It might require you to go down to Nineveh. Who wants to go to Nineveh? Anybody? Your Nineveh might be downtown Cleves. Your Nineveh might be going into the very nice neighborhoods. You might have a fear of going door to door and talking to people. I don't know what your Nineveh is. But God is calling us to start casting our nets. We need to go out and go beyond. And what you need to ask yourself, are you willing to go and cast these nets? Because we have been promised victory. We have been promised full nets if we go out and do God's will. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited with the thought about pulling in some full nets that are so big, we can't put them all in here. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if some of you have to come at 9 o'clock for church? Because we're so full at 10:15? Wouldn't that be good? God can fill these nets. There are people that need us. And it's up to us to find God's will. It's up to us to say yes and go and cast out our nets. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have so many tools and resources sitting right here in this church. There is no doubt that there is abounding love. And we have the ability to pick each other up, to support each other, and to love each other. But Lord, let us now go and cast our nets together. Let our nets be so full that it's all we can do to bring them in. Let us further your kingdom and go make disciples. Let us go reach those in need. Let us be a shining example of the church that you have called us to be. And as always, we pray and ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.